You go ahead and take your seats again. The Lord has laid on my heart a series. Now, that's kind of an unusual thing in itself. Pastor Paul used to tell me, look, you've got so much to say, why don't you break it up? That isn't exactly how this happened, but it is a good idea. Don't always listen to that counsel, but it's a good idea. But I want us to focus on some questions. Now, the purpose for this is not thinking necessarily that you yourself might have this question. But I bet you know people that do. So I want you to watch this.
I've heard the story a million times.
Unmarried, pregnant mother gives birth to a baby boy.
And they shall call him Jesus.
Angels sing.
Shepherds worship.
And 2,000 years later, pastors and teachers tell the story.
And they're telling a story that, if I can be honest, makes no sense to me at all.
It's a story about a baby
who might promise something far greater than I could ever imagine.
But I don't see the connection.
The connection between his life and my life.
It's a weird question to ask, but...
The question today is, how can a baby born 2,000 years ago possibly change my life? Now, anybody who's had a baby, you might have a thought about that, but that's a different sort of thing. It's a good question. It's hard enough for us to imagine how to change our lives ourselves. You might see a need, you might see something you need to change, but it's really difficult. But then trying to inject a baby from God into the equation, that's really tough. It is one of those things that it really seems preposterous. It seems just totally out there. Until we come to realize that it isn't some Madison Avenue sales pitch or a YouTube trick. See, God planned from the very first to send his son as an infant. Now, in Isaiah's book, chapter 9, we read these words. This is Isaiah 9, 6 and 7. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. If you're familiar with Handel's Messiah, you would recognize some of these words and even some of the ways that they are pronounced to make the music come out. It's pretty amazing. Of course, then again, writing a piece of music that's that big in 3 weeks is really amazing. I guess you could say that Handel was a freak of nature in that regard. We don't know what your talent may be. Maybe you could write something like that in 2 weeks. I don't know. But if you think about it, it's absolutely incredible. And the thought occurs to us, who can believe it? And that is what most of us think in our darkest times. We've gone through some dark times. Every one of us has gone through some dark times. And when we're going through those times, we think that it can't be true. Yet God himself had Amos write this. Now Amos is... He's a farmer, and he was a prophet. Two can go together. See, the funny thing about God is he doesn't make people with funny collars, and they're the only ones who can speak for him. He uses all sorts of people. And in this case, he uses a farmer. Surely the Lord God does nothing. Nothing. Unless he reveals his secret to his servants, the prophets. We lose sight of this really easy. Because we tend to think, well, you know, God, his ways are above our ways. Amen? True. Yes, that's right. And his thoughts above ours. Yep, that's right too. But he doesn't do anything unless he reveals his secret to his servants, the prophets. So once again, we're called to go back to the writings of those prophets. There are other people who have a title of prophet, but they're not. Just flat out. So when we're tempted to throw this baby out with the bathwater, this baby from 2,000 years ago that might change our lives, When we're tempted to throw this baby out with the bathwater, we do well to consider that the idea of a baby from God as his special gift to you and me is not a new idea. Isaiah lived around 742 to 701 BC, right around 700 years before Jesus was born. That's a long time. So what he wrote is not some nice cover story for what really happened. It really happened. So when we consider the question, how can a baby born 2,000 years ago possibly change my life? We have to think about whether or not all babies are the same, or if a baby can be something different than what we expect. And so when you think about babies, and we had five of our own, and now I've got nine grandchildren, none of which are the same as Jesus, but I will tell you that you learn something about babies through that. They're all helpless. You know, that sounds funny until you consider that the lawn needs to be mowed, and if you have a baby, it doesn't do you any good. They're all small. Aren't you glad, moms? I mean, I don't want to get into a thing about the largest baby I ever heard of, but it's still a lot smaller than a full-grown adult, and that's probably a good thing. They're all small. They're all unable to speak or understand. They can't say words unless you teach them, and they don't understand. They only understand their own world, which leads us to the last thing, which they're all limited to very small life experiences. They know how to eat. They know how to make some noise, and they know how to do some other things, which really they didn't need to be trained for. Do it very effectively, though. That's what they're limited to, though, is those very small life experiences. Now, if you ever try to teach a baby to walk who's a newborn, you'll understand exactly what it doesn't happen. If it does, something's wrong. In fact, you have to be kind of careful about what you put a newborn in because they don't hold their head up. And so you're always really careful about the head. I remember that. It's almost like a panic. Oh, no, watch out for the head. Of course, we did have one of our children who was brought to his mother's attention by a sibling carrying them by the head. Say, Mommy, baby crying. Mommy, baby crying. I'll bet the baby's crying. The baby's being held by its head. But nobody knew. This is little children doing little children things. But babies, they're different in their potential. Now, aren't you glad of that? I mean, we tend to think in terms of, well, they have more potential than I do. We've been watching lately some musical Freaks of Nature. I mean, these people, they have perfect pitch. They have ranges. And you know, some of you are not into music, so none of this would matter. But perfect pitch means they know exactly where the note is. They can just sing it. And they don't have to slide up or down to find it. And then some of them do arranging. And they make these arrangements that nobody could ever do unless you're like them. And so then they find each other on the internet. They're from different countries. They speak French. They speak Swedish. They speak English. But a couple of them from Canada. One's from England, jolly old England. They all have accents. Oddly enough, the group is called Accent. A very, very interesting group. And then you start getting into the things of the individuals in the group. You go, these guys really are freaks of nature. The Swedish guy, they show him singing with his family. He's, you know, maybe 12 years old. And they're singing in English, which with a Swedish accent, if you know, sounds a little bit like North Dakota, but more. Really interesting. Anyway, you may not have the musical potential that they do. I don't. But you have a different type of potential. See, each one of us is given gifts and strengths and stuff that God does. He built it into us. So if you're not especially musical, don't feel bad about that. He's given you something else. There's other gifts that you have. Babies are different in their genetic makeup. Now, you can take that as far or as short as you want. But if you look at a baby that is born to you, that baby will tend to look like you. There's a reason for that. That's their genetic makeup. Mom and dad both contribute something. They look like both of you. My kids were always a little fortunate to tend to look like their mom a bit more, but that's neither here nor there. And that brings us to that thing. They're all different in their looks. Have you ever looked, Maybe you've never been in a nursery, in a hospital. Very interesting. You walk by, you can pick out your kid. Now, the problem is they all kind of look alike because they're, you know, miniaturized, and some of them had a rough time. They're kind of squished. So in a way, you walk into a room and there's, you know, 20 squish-faced babies, and you're like picking yours out. I bet you could still do it, though, because you tend to remember what that baby looked like when you first saw him. I always like to joke, the first time I ever saw you, you were with your mother, but that's another story. They're different in their backgrounds. All babies are different in their backgrounds. So this baby, like all babies, was helpless. He was small. He was unable to understand. He had very small life experiences. He was a baby. However, this baby was of different genetic makeup in that his natural tendency towards evil was not there. Think about that for a second. I mean, we talk about people who are really gifted in music and really this and that. But there's a tremendous leaning towards things like pride, anger, all those sorts of human things, that junk doesn't do us any good. But this baby didn't have that tendency. His potential was way beyond any of his peers. You go, he was like a big musician? No, we don't know about anything like that. But anything he wanted to do, he could probably do really well. Now, the odd thing here is he looked like his mother, but he didn't look like his stepfather. It's because his father was God. He didn't look like God that way, you know, because we always have those pictures, like the art that we've seen, and they all kind of glow. They have a little halo or whatever. They're trying to represent something. That's nice, but it almost looks like they ate a light bulb. This is not a good idea. And in case anybody was thinking about eating light bulbs, by the way, it's still not a good idea. His background was not just human, but his background was also being God. Now, we know those things by what the book says. Remember, God doesn't keep any secrets that he doesn't reveal to his prophets, his servants, the prophets. And in the Bible, we read about things where Jesus didn't hold on to godhood, but instead laid it aside and came as a baby. We see that. And sometimes we get this kind of a mixture of ideas. You know, well, you know, angels, they're all like, there's baby angels. No, there's no baby angels. And they're not people. Angels are angels, people are people. But this baby was not your typical baby. Now look again at what Isaiah said about it. Now remember, 700 years or so before the baby is born. For unto us a child is born. Notice it's not an adult. That would be kind of weird. An adult was born? Maybe. We're all here, looking around, looks like all adults. And we were all born, so maybe, but that's not what it means. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. The ultimate gender reveal. Just had to throw that in. The government will be upon his shoulder. Now there's a wild baby for you. His name will be called Wonderful. And if you know the book, if you know the Bible, you'll remember a story about somebody asking about the angel of the Lord's name. And a lot of times in the Old Testament, when you see the title, the angel of the Lord, it's what we call a theophany. It's a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus Christ. And one of the things I really appreciate about the Superbook is that in those places where God speaks, it's the same picture of Jesus that is elsewhere in the book, elsewhere in the videos. It's really a great representation because we tend to think in terms of a duality somehow. Well, you don't really relate to God, but, you know, in this case, somebody said, what is your name? And the angel of the Lord says, why you ask my name, seeing it is wonderful. Ooh. Now, sometimes we look at that and go, well, so what? It's a clue, folks. It's a clue. Now, a lot of times clues are given and the lights go on, kind of like a 1950s TV program, and the sign went on and said applause, so you know when to clap. Maybe you don't know about that. That happened a lot. There was actually a sign that said applause, and it would light up and flash. And when it did, you're supposed to applaud. But in this case, this clue is given without a flashing sign. It's kind of subdued. And his name will be called Counselor. That's kind of odd, because the Bible represents the Holy Spirit as the Counselor. That's odd. But Jesus said that he had to go so that we could receive the Holy Spirit, the great Comforter, the great Counselor. Mighty God. Now look, if you have a baby, had five babies, got nine grandchildren, I'm not calling any of them Mighty God. In fact, their pride and their small world that's all about them, they don't act like any kind of God I want to follow. I'll tell you that right now. But babies tend to think that they are Lord of their universe. They're really not. But this baby had a name of Mighty God, Everlasting Father. Now, there's an interesting thing for a baby. Prince of Peace. When you get through these titles, you start recognizing that they appear throughout the scripture and they're always pointing to Jesus Christ. So they're a weird name for a baby unless they're true. That's really important for us. So when we think about the possibility of a baby that can change your life beyond just the typical lack of sleep, crying, diapers, and the sleeping that they do, which doesn't seem to line up with what you need, there actually was a baby that changed the world, even your world. Our world is substantially changed because of the coming of that baby. Just recently, going through what we've gone through as groups within our church. I mean, some of us know Gail really well. Some of us don't know Gail very well at all. Some of us have, I mean, we've been friends with Gail. Gail told Lori straight out, 37 years. It was kind of funny because I think we've got people that were praying with us today that don't have 37 years on earth. We've been friends that long. To lose her is just like a tragedy. And yet, where she is, it's not a tragedy. That changed because of that baby. Do you understand? That apart from the gift of God, none of us can look forward to a great eternity. So even to this day, though, our calendar is split in half by this baby's birth. So even if you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, you're not a Christian, you know, whatever, if you use a calendar, you're being impacted by that baby. Now, they've changed the nomenclature. The way that they list it, they've changed that. It used to be BC. That was before Christ. That's what it meant. Did you know that? Maybe you did. But now they call it BCE, before the Common Era. Okay, and you get kind of ticked. It's like, what? What are they talking about before the Common Era? But the funny thing about it is, see, there's AD, which is Anno Domini, the year of our Lord. That's become CE. That's Common Era. But the fact of who makes this the Common Era hasn't changed. Still, incredibly, this little baby, the baby Jesus who came as God's own son. It doesn't matter what you call it. The calendar split right down the middle. And we count time itself from before and after the coming of this baby. He is the child born to us. He is the son who was given to us. He grew up to be the sacrifice for you and me. He is the center of history, and he is the most significant person who ever lived. That's pretty good for a baby. I have great, great hopes for my kids. Great hopes. You're looking at that baby going, oh, wow, look at this. Who knows what this baby will be? And then they grow up. Oddly enough, they're kind of like me. That wasn't too good. Now, I think they're better than me. Don't get me wrong. I think they've beat the old man on that. But there's still something there. This baby was way, way different. My kids, they may have dropped something and broken it, but they didn't split the calendar. Time is not measured by my kids. Now, we measured some times with our kids, but it's all temporary. So yes, the question, how can a baby be born 2,000 years ago possibly change my life, does have an answer. And the answer is this. Only a very special baby could have changed your life, and a very special baby did come 2,000 years ago. Promised by God and given to you and for you. Next week, we'll answer another question. And the question is, isn't the Christmas story just a fairy tale? Watch this.
especially in a church setting like this.
But I was raised in a home where the birth of Jesus made a nice story to tell.
But not necessarily something firm enough to put my faith in.
Angels talking to humans?
That's never happened to me.
A virgin giving birth?
Never seen that before.
Three of the smartest men on the planet following a star?
And then finding the savior of the world in a stable?
Again, I'm not trying to offend anyone.
I'm just saying.
The Christmas story sounds a little bit far-fetched.
Is it really something firm enough to put my faith in?
That is what you're asking me to do.
Right?
Isn't the Christmas story just a fairy tale? And you know, there's not very many of you in this room, probably not too many, that think that that's not your question. I'll guarantee you it's your neighbor's question. I'll guarantee you it's a friend's question. I'll guarantee you it's a coworker's question. I look forward to the answer, don't you? Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you so much for hearing and answering our prayers, for sending your son as a little baby. It was exactly the right thing to do. And you've blessed us so very, very, very much through that child. Now, we get frustrated with Christmas music that starts seemingly in August and Christmas decorations that aren't much after that. But the heart of our neighbors and our friends and our coworkers is open because something happened and something special about this time of year, and they just don't know what it is, but we do. Help us, Lord, to each be ready to give an answer for the faith that lies within us. May we know that they're not against us. May we know that they're really seeking, even if it seems like they're not, that they're looking for an answer of who loves them. And Lord, you sent your love wrapped as a baby. I pray for everyone here that you would give each of us an extra outpouring of your Holy Spirit to be able to answer these questions as we hear them. You may be here today, and these may be your questions, and we're awful glad you're here. We're just so glad. You're in the right place. You may be here today, and you've been fighting through some of these things, and finally have come to a place of realizing that baby, this Jesus, is the one you need to believe in, and you've placed your faith in him, and that's about as far as it's gone so far. That's okay. Press in there. Give up your old ways, but don't give up pressing into who he is. You may be looking to grow in your faith and become more in line with what God says. You have to know his book. You need to do that. That's the place where your growth is going to come from. And you may be one of those who wants to lead others and help them. And you've grown through these things and you really, really, really want to be a leader. And yet sometimes we think in terms of being a leader instead of thinking about the other person who needs the leader. And help us, Lord, to think about those when we have that thing in us that says, I need to be a leader. May it not be about us. For each one of us, Lord, we give ourselves to you. We ask that you would make yourself real to us and to those around us. Give us the opportunity, Lord, to speak to our neighbors, to our friends, to our co-workers, to our relatives, whoever it is, of your great love for them and of this baby who, even coming 2,000 years ago, changed everything. In Jesus' name, amen.